Hey there, Rick Singeri of Vermont Edition. Just want you to know this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. A few weeks ago, we did a show with State Auditor Doug Hoffer. One of the things we talked about was his office's audit of the Dr. Dinosaur program that provides health insurance benefits to children and pregnant women in Vermont. The auditor found that the state has continued to struggle to make sure it's collecting all the premiums it's supposed to collect from eligible families. Doing that program reminded us of what a big and interesting program Dr. Dinosaur is, and how pivotal it was in getting the lion's share of Vermont's children covered for medical care. So today we want to learn more about the program, from its historical roots to the way it works today and how it might change in the future. Dr. Dinosaur is 30 years old this year, so I guess we could say a healthy adult. We're going to talk with one of the people who administers the program in a few minutes, but first let's go back to how it actually got started here. Paul Harrington is a former Republican state representative and former executive vice president of the Vermont Medical Society, and he was involved in creating the program. Paul, it's nice to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Jane. Glad to be here.
So obviously the aim of Dr. Dinosaur, both when it got started and today, is to make sure that kids have access to health care. But can you describe why the focus, especially on young kids back then, what the impetus was that made you say, we got to do something more than just Medicaid as it existed then?
Well, perhaps I can quote my former boss when I worked for the U.S. Senate, Senator James Jeffords. And Senator Jeffords always told his staff that the goal of a society should always be to take care of vulnerable populations, the very young, the very old, and those with disabilities. And I think the legislature historically has shared that view. So back in the late 80s, when I was chair of the House Commerce Committee, the House and Senate Health and Welfare Committees created in 1989, what was called Dr. Dinosaur, and it basically provided health insurance for children up to six and pregnant women up to 225% of poverty outside of the Medicaid program. And if you recall back in the late 80s, there was a lot of health care reform going on in reforming health insurance, as well as a little later when President Clinton tried to get a national plan enacted. So focusing on kids, we already had the Medicare program in place. There was a lot of work being done for disabled people, but not a lot for children. So I think the legislature in 89 took the first of three steps to work towards universal insurance coverage for all children in Vermont.
How many kids weren't getting medical care because they were sort of in that donut hole?
I don't have the exact numbers from 89. I recall that we had about 40,000 Vermonters who were uninsured. So I'm going to extrapolate that we probably had about 15,000 kids who were uninsured. But that's a guess. I have more accurate numbers currently. But certainly for those who weren't eligible for Medicaid at the time, there was a clear desire on part of policymakers to make sure we work towards universal coverage for all children.
Yeah. So was there this overwhelming idea or bipartisan, tripartisan support that said, yeah, we got to make this happen. It's going to cost money, obviously, but we want to make sure that all kids have medical coverage. Or was it really a struggle?
No. There was bipartisan, bicameral support, Republicans, Democrats, House, Senate, gubernatorial support for taking this first step. And then in 1992, that first step of covering kids up to six took a significant expansion. So kids and young adults up to age 18 were covered, and the program was folded into the Medicaid program. So it was no longer just state dollars, but federally matched funds provided that. And that was a part of a much bigger bill, Act 160, that I was a part of, not only expanding coverage for children, but also moving towards universal coverage for all Vermonters through either a single-payer plan or a regulated multi-payer plan. and it created a regulatory structure under the Dean administration to do that much larger healthcare reform. That larger effort did not succeed. It was kind of tied up with the Clinton plan. But what stayed in place was providing coverage for children up to age 18, up to 225% of poverty in the Medicaid program. And that was, frankly, a much bigger step than the initial one, just providing coverage for kids up to the age 6.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are a couple of steps and a couple of ways that this has changed. And I want to draw out that one of the ones that you just mentioned, Paul, because it's important in how big the program has grown and where the funds are coming from. Because as you mentioned, at the beginning, this was a program to ensure the youngest children. So it was up to age 6, right? Pregnant women and up to age 6. And now you can be through your year of being 18 on the program. And it used to be completely funded by the state, but then later on it was rolled into the Medicaid program, and it's under what used to be SCHIP and is now CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program. So it's a state and federal partnership. So the federal government matches state funds, and we can draw down federal funds for this program, which I assume is partly what allowed us to expand the coverage to include older children.
That's right. And then in 1998 took a further step in expanding, and this was in part due to the leadership of Senator Jeffords, where federal legislation was passed creating the SCHIP program that expanded the eligibility up to 300% of poverty, or actually 317% of poverty, which for a family of four is about $75,000. So we took it from a program intended to help the children of low-income families to really into the middle class, again, trying to have all children and young adults in Vermont with health insurance. And it's been an enormous success. At this point, only 2% of children in Vermont are uninsured, and over 50% of them, of those Vermont children under 18, are now covered under Dr. Dinosaur.
Blythe wrote in to say, happy birthday, Dr. Dinosaur. Thank you for keeping our kids healthy. And again, the Dr. Dinosaur program is 30 years old this year. So we're looking at the origins of it right now with Paul Harrington, who was instrumental in helping get it started in the state legislature. But Paul, I have to ask, we want children to have good health care coverage, but clearly we don't care much about their spelling, because Dr. Dinosaur has an A in it, D-Y-N-A-S-O-R.
Right.
And I know, like, you know, the name was supposed to be sort of cute and make it friendly, yeah, but why couldn't you spell dinosaur right?
It's one of those stories how the legislature, sometimes they do serious business, but they also try to have a good time. And I think if you remember its genesis, where it was originally for children 6 and under, having kind of a misspelled word for 6 and under is just not a bad idea.
Yeah, tell that to the parents who are trying to get their kids to spell right.
Right. Well, if they're dealing with dinosaur under 6, those parents are doing a stellar job.
I thought maybe it was a trademark issue that you actually weren't allowed to somehow spell the word correctly.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you say it's been an enormous success and you look now at just 2% of Vermont's children who are uninsured, what difference do you think having Dr. Dinosaur has made? I mean, spell it out for us why this is important.
Well, we don't have parents worried about whether they can pay for their child's care. So we've increased access. Obviously, the people providing that care, the pediatricians, and other primary care physicians and practitioners are the ones who are actually doing the work. But heretofore, if there were parents reluctant to bring their children in because of a lack of insurance or other barriers, I think the legislature appropriately tried to remove as many barriers between that parent, that child, seeing their physician, their nurse practitioner, and getting the appropriate care, especially the prenatal care, to give that child as good a and healthy a start in life as possible. And I, again, think that's in all our interests because our children are our future.
What about the fiscal interests of the state? Do you – I don't know. We're going to have Ashley Berliner on the show in a few moments, and I'm sure she'll know. But do you know how much it costs the state in state funds to administer this program every year?
I don't. I know the federal government pays about 55% of the cost. And I know that of all the different Medicaid beneficiaries, of which Dr. Dinosaur is a part of Medicaid, children are actually the least expensive population compared to, you know, older Vermonters or disabled Vermonters. So we get a great bargain. The physicians and other practitioners in the state should get a well-deserved thank you because they're getting paid less than they would be paid by Blue Cross or private insurers, but there's heretofore been no barriers to access due to the hard work of our pediatricians. So it's been a great partnership between state, those in the healthcare system, and then policymakers working in partnership, again, to give our children the best possible start.
Right, because as you mentioned, reimbursement rates through Medicaid are notoriously low and are in many cases subsidized through private insurers. But so when you think about the cost of the program, and again, we can get the statistics from Ashley in a moment, but then you think about the benefits. Do you think we save money by having all of our children insured and getting health care in the end in terms of what the costs would be for children who were waiting to go to the emergency room?
Oh, absolutely. If you're or, you know, it goes beyond the emergency room. If you have a person who gets a healthy start in life and gets the health care he or she needs, you're probably preventing diseases later in life that would be far more expensive to deal with. So it's an enormously effective preventive health program to get infants, children, teenagers, the kind of health care they need to give them a good start and enjoy hopefully a healthy life as they get into the workforce through middle age and then become seniors.
Well, and when I mentioned that this is expansive, it's not just either preventive care or emergency care. I think I'm right in saying it it covers mental health care services, it covers eyeglasses, it covers some dental care. What's the sort of philosophy about making sure that this was comprehensive care, really sort of full service care?
Well, again, to make sure there were no barriers to ensuring that that child got the health care he or she needed in order to grow and be nourished as they learn to what it means to be a good citizen in our state, our country. So this is an investment for the future.
Let's go to Teresa, who's calling in from Shalott. Hi, Teresa. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call. So I do a lot of work in Vermont with a farm worker community, and I know that a number of those children do qualify for Dr. Dinosaur, but I'm wondering if the program has given any consideration to providing services to undocumented children or their mothers, given that they often are falling through a lot of cracks in the healthcare system. I understand that New York State does provide some services to undocumented children, and I'm just wondering if that is a part of the program that we could see expanded.
Thanks for the call, Teresa. Now, Paul, you're not involved in the legislature in terms of, you know, thinking about that specific expansion idea, but what do you think about the idea that Teresa's bringing up?
Well, I obviously, and I'm speaking personally, I think making sure that all children, irrespective of their immigration status, should be able to access our healthcare system and get the preventive care that they need to get that healthy start in life. And I frankly think that while they may not be covered by Dr. Dinosaur, I don't think that any doctor or hospital would refuse to treat those patients. Obviously, this is something that the Medicaid program would have to address and the legislature probably would have to make a decision around. But I would be interested in hearing from the caller if she feels that the children of those undocumented refugees don't get the care they need, because that would really surprise me.
Teresa, do you know from your work with the migrant farm worker community whether those children are getting health care?
Yeah, I think there definitely is. There's definitely a number of families that are getting health care, but I think one of the things is sort of the lack of preventative care. I think a lot of times the care that people are receiving is emergency room visits and sort of urgent care versus more for preventative services. Despite us having a really pretty robust program through UVM Extension doing some healthcare outreach. But I know that there's gaps, and I think especially gaps within preventative care.
Well, Teresa, thanks for that call. I appreciate it. I appreciate hearing from you. And Paul Harrington, before we let you go, why was this and why is this so important to you? I mean, you've talked a little bit about it, but personally to you, why was having Dr. Dinosaur, having a children's healthcare program, such a thing that you wanted to focus on and work on?
Well, again, I'm going to quote Senator Jeffords, who I held in the highest regard. The measure of a society is best determined by how it treats its vulnerable populations, those being is very young, is very old, and disabled. So I think Dr. Dinosaur clearly satisfies that measure of a healthy society, that we take care of our kids.
Paul Harrington is a former Republican state representative and former vice president of the Vermont Medical Society. Paul, thank you for sharing the history of Dr. Dinosaur with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We're learning more about Dr. Dinosaur today, the program in Vermont that helps make sure all children have health care coverage. It's been seen as a model for care around the country and has ensured that Vermont's children have a higher rate than most states of health coverage. But it's not without complications. We've talked over the history of the program, and we're going to look now at some of the ins and outs of how it's administered currently with Ashley Berliner, Director of Healthcare Policy and Planning at the Department of Vermont Health Access. Ashley Berliner, it's nice to talk with you today.
You too. Thanks for having me.
So let me be clear on how this works, and you can say, yes, I've got it right, or no, it doesn't, just so we all have it right in our head. Dr. Dinosaur currently, it's a state program, but it's administered with state and federal funds, and that's through the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, which people may have in their heads SCHIP. It used to be known as SCHIP. So the federal government provides matching funds to the state, and with the aim of covering children and pregnant women who are low to moderate income, but might not otherwise qualify for services through Medicaid. Does that all seem right and sound accurate to you?
That's about right. The CHIP component of it, the Children's Health Insurance Program, is a piece of Dr. Dinosaur. Dr. Dinosaur is actually what we call a collection of Medicaid programs available to children and pregnant women. CHIP is part of that.
I see. So some of it is sort of the traditional Medicaid, and some of it is through CHIP, which is more expansive. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And, this idea of having more people qualify, this is something other states could do. I mean, you can work with the federal government to draw down these federal funds to make sure that more people in your state are getting certain kinds of coverage. Why do you think Vermont has perhaps more expansive eligibility guidelines than many other states?
Well, I think Vermont definitely has higher income eligibility limits than a lot of other states. But when we look at our New England neighbors, we're up there. New Hampshire has high eligibility. Massachusetts has much higher than their traditional Medicaid population, as does Rhode Island. But we're definitely a leader in the Medicaid expansion nationally. And we certainly, as you noted, started 30 years ago and are way ahead of the curve.
What do you think we get out of it? What's the benefit of having Dr. Dinosaur in particular and these expansive guidelines?
Well, I think as Paul stated on the first segment, we really want Vermonters to have the best start in life, and healthcare is an integral part of that. Dr. Dinosaur really allows us to leverage federal matching dollars to cover as many kids as possible under Vermont Medicaid and ensures that they have access to affordable and comprehensive coverage. And covering pregnant women is just an extension of that. It's the earliest we can get to these kids.
And there are different eligibility guidelines in terms of your income level. It's up to 317% of poverty for children, and I think it's 217% of poverty for pregnant women, right?
That's right.
Okay. So we talked a little while ago with Paul about whether, he thinks it's cost effective. How much does the program actually cost in state funds?
So we spend about $165 million for the kids portion of Dr. Dinosaur and just under $1 million for the pregnant women. That's our state fiscal year 2018 actuals.
Mm-hmm. And then we get about the same amount, maybe a little bit more in federal funds.
Yes, we do get our traditional match rate is roughly about 55-45 in federal funds. And with the CHIP, so a subset of our total Dr. Dinosaur population, we get an enhanced match on top of that.
Do you have an ability to say whether you think the state actually comes out ahead in that? I mean, obviously, there's a philosophical part of wanting to make sure that children have access to health care. But then there's also the part that we talk about all the time when we think about health coverage of preventive care and early care being essential to bending that cost curve in terms of the medical costs later in life or with more serious conditions that could be prevented.
Yeah, I think we have really focused on prevention, and the emphasis on screening, prevention, and early treatment for children gives them the best chance of preventing future illness. It also helps families manage the needs of their children with really chronic or medically complex conditions. So I think when we talk about, you know, public health and prevention interventions, this definitely gives us a good strategy to addressing a lot of that.
But would we do it? We would do it even if it wasn't cost effective because of this sort of ideal of having people be able to have access to health care?
I can't speak to whether the legislature would prioritize doing this if we didn't think that it was offsetting future costs. From, you know, where I sit as a Medicaid administrator, we think that it's a really effective program and it provides access and coverage to the most kids in Vermont.
Let's go to Tom, who's calling in from Hartford. Hey, Tom, go right ahead.
Hi, I was just wondering if there was a wealth test for eligibility, if someone could have, you know, a high net worth but low income and still have their children taking needed dollars for health care.
Tom, let me ask you before we come to Ashley on that, is that something that you have a specific concern about?
Oh, well, I've just seen many people whose children are on the program who, you know, by choice don't work or have, you know, very large companies with, you know, millions of dollars worth of equipment. But they do qualify because of low income, even though they have very large assets. But they do qualify for these, you know, limited dollars.
Tom, thanks for the call. So Ashley Berliner, what about that? There's an eligibility guideline that's based on income, but no assets test.
That's right. So we do have asset tests in Medicaid for other populations, disabled, aged populations. We do asset tests. But under the Affordable Care Act, the methodology for assessing income did significantly change, and there is no asset test for our Dr. D population.
So in theory, there could be people that Tom says anecdotally he's seen who are accessing this care who might not need it for financial reasons.
It's based on household income.
It's also, in order to comply with federal guidelines, there is no you're not prevented from accessing Dr. Dinosaur if you could get health care coverage, insurance coverage in another way. So, for example, if you could get health insurance coverage through your employer, you could still decide to have your child get health care through Dr. Dinosaur. Can you explain, you know, why a family might decide to do that? I mean, one thing is cost. The premiums are pretty low, even if you are of an income level that you need to qualify for premiums. Is the coverage better, too?
It is very good coverage. As you noted, it's not only comprehensive coverage that is available to anyone under Vermont Medicaid, but our children's coverage is unique in that it provides comprehensive dental, it provides eyeglasses, and it also allows us to provide medically necessary services to all children who are eligible for Dr. Dinosaur, regardless of whether that specific service is covered under Vermont Medicaid, so long as the federal Medicaid regulations would allow it.
What's an example of that? I'm not sure I can picture that.
So one specific example is residential eating disorder treatment. That's something that the federal government would say we would cover that, but it's not explicitly laid out in our Vermont state policies as covered. What is covered is inpatient hospitalization, but because it would be medically necessary for a kid to receive residential eating disorder treatment, we have the ability to pay for that and receive matching dollars.
So is it possible that families of slightly higher income who don't qualify for Dr. Dinosaur might not be able to access that kind of care for their children through their private insurer?
Correct.
So, you know, in that case, you know, there are real benefits to Dr. Dinosaur in terms of the comprehensive nature of this healthcare coverage. Would you, and I'm guessing you won't answer this because of your job position, but would you like to see this expanded so that all Vermont children have the same access to care?
I think that's really up to the policymakers in Vermont. Our job at the Department of Vermont Health Access and the Agency of Human Services is to administer the Medicaid program as effectively as possible, but we really take our direction from the policymakers.
Ashley, are there families where the kids are covered through Dr. Dinosaur, but the adults in the family have no health insurance?
That's an interesting question. I don't know the specific data. Theoretically, that is certainly possible. We definitely have mixed households where individuals have commercial coverage and then their children are on Dr. Dinosaur. It seems likely that there would also be scenarios where individuals did not enroll in commercial coverage but did have their child enrolled.
We're talking about Dr. Dinosaur, the program in Vermont that tries to make sure that all children have access to health care coverage. It's been around for 30 years, as we heard earlier from Paul Harrington. It was started in 1989, and it's a program that's gone through many changes. At the very beginning, it was a program for the youngest children up to ages 6, and it was completely administered with state funds. Through the years, it has grown in terms of eligibility guidelines, age guidelines. You're allowed to stay on it now up to age 19, and again, pregnant women are also eligible for Dr. Dinosaur coverage. And it's now a program that draws down federal funds. A little more than half of the money for the program typically comes from federal dollars. It was sort of a unique program when it got started in Vermont, and now many states have different, but some have similar guidelines in terms of who has coverage through these federal programs. Ashley, do other states ever reach out to Vermont and say, like, how'd you get this started? How could we do something similar?
Other states definitely reach out to us about specific service packages. I have not been at Medicaid long enough to know if in the early days states reached out, though I think that's likely given my experience with other innovative programs that we've had in Medicaid. But we've been an innovator with kids' health insurance for a long time and continue to be. And so as we stand up new benefits, an example of that is an applied behavior analysis, which we were one of the first states to explicitly include as a Medicaid state-covered benefit. We work with other states and provide technical assistance for how we got it through our federal approval process and what our internal operational considerations were to launch a benefit like that.
Yeah. That sounds like it may have been complicated.
Yes, there are certainly a lot of moving parts.
You know, we got that call from Teresa earlier who wanted to know about expanding coverage to children of undocumented workers who are here. Is that something that is ever discussed? I know that would probably take some legislative action, but from your position working to administer the program, what do you think?
I was very interested in that question from Teresa. So there are federal prohibitions around providing federal funding for undocumented individuals. There is a citizenship requirement. There are exceptions with illegal immigration, having refugee or asylum status. But by and large, with the exception of emergency services, which Teresa cited, is generally something that individuals do get in Vermont, we would have to fund that entirely with state dollars.
And do you think there's an appetite for that?
I don't know what kind of conversations have happened in the legislature around that. Certainly, it's relevant in today's political climate.
Let's go to Annie calling in from Essex Junction. Hi, Annie.
Hi. My name is Annie from Essex Junction, as you said, and my gratitude for Dr. Dinosaur has me in near tears right now. We first moved here in 1996, and through two very traumatic marriages and bad relationships, I was able to keep myself and my children on our feet because of Dr. Dinosaur and Essex, Vermont. And really, the Dr. Dinosaur program allowing me to be stable and ensure that my children were looked after by the wonderful people at Essex Pediatrics and at the hospital, and really to feel grounded and like to feel respected in that way by the state of Vermont, by Dr. Zonisor, and by the physicians and all who handled myself and my children. I can't thank the state of Vermont enough for the existence of Dr. Zonisor.
Annie, that's really interesting to hear, and I'm glad that you had such a positive experience. May I ask you, did you have health insurance for all that time that your children had it?
Well, that's interesting. I heard you talking about that. There were some real cliff-hanging moments as my income, ebbed and flowed throughout some experiences, and there were some really dicey moments, and I think that I was fortunate with, I can't think of the name of it. What was it, Green Mountain Care?
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of moments where Green Mountain Care caught me right in the nick of time for myself personally, and then Vermont Health Connect helped me stay in a moment, and then now I can afford my own health care and my children. Now I'm on my feet in a very stable way. But there were certainly times where it felt to me as though I was going to have to just take a hit personally and just please God let my kids have health care,
Yeah. Annie, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that personal experience. I really appreciate it. And glad to hear that you feel like you're in a really stable place right now. That's always really great to hear. Ashley Berliner, before we go, I just want to double back to something that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago now on the show with Auditor Doug Hoffer. You know, as you well know, he talked to us about the ongoing problem of the state not collecting premiums on the Dr. Zonisor program. And again, this is for some eligible families. And the state is not doing it in an effective, trackable, efficient way. This is an ongoing problem. So when do you think that might be fixed?
So we're working on a large overhaul of our eligibility and enrollment system. It's a multi-year process, and we're taking it in phases. So it's something that we're definitely working on actively. But in terms of a time frame right now, I am not the right person to speak to that.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that as we move forward. Is something we're interested in. Ashley Berliner is Director of Healthcare Policy and Planning at the Department of Vermont Health Access. Ashley, thank you for talking about Dr. Zonisor with us.
Thanks so much for having me.